Now, I don't know what I exactly meant by that when I chose it. I guess I sort of meant like things beyond taking two aspirins, call me in the morning, beyond things that are acceptable medical activity, medical remedies, and things that one does to get healed. Look at the outline. So these are the topics that we'll try to cover in the short time. Each of these really could be a whole shiur just on these topics. It really, we're trying to, you know, the mitzamsem, mikatzo a little bit, just to make it as brief as possible to give you the any of these particular topics itself, you know, of interest. Definitely is what to explore much more about them. Apparently, one of the pages, page 3, was missing, so a few of those we'll have to look inside. I'm going to copy or ate it up instead of photocopying it. All right, the first thing is, number one, the right to heal. Right. So in Parashat Mishpatim, coming up, I guess, in several weeks, we're going to have a parsha of the five things that one pays. If people get into a fight, one guy hurts somebody else. Right, five things that the person paid: nezek saratz, sheves, boshes, and the one of them is the refuah, right? The doctor bills. A person has to go to the hospital to a doctor because somebody else, you know, hit him, whatever else, hit him with a club. The responsibility of the mazik is to pay the doctor bills. The person says, "Verapo yirape." The doctor has a chiyuv to heal him, right? The chiyuv seems to be on the doctor to go heal. So the Ramban, not in Mishpatim, but in Bichukosa, in the context of the Tochacha, right? Bichukosa has discussion of what happens to Klal Yisrael when they are acting properly, what Chassidim happen when they're not acting properly. And there, the Ramban says, the Torah is promising full health, wealth, happiness when Jews are all doing the right thing. And Chalila, the reverse, when things are, when they're not doing the right thing. And in that context, the Ramban says that the ultimate, the way it ought to be is that Jews and Klal Yisrael as a whole never should have to go to a doctor. Why? Because Hashem is healing them. Hashem is the doctor. Why go to a doctor when you have a Kodesh Baruch Hu to just, like that, can make you better? Not make you ill, not make you sick. And if you get sick, you can become very easily healed just by going to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Right, in English, so that you do not need a physician, do not have to observe any of the rules of medicine. Right? Ani Hashem Rofecha, it's a pasuk in Bishalach, Hashem is the healer. So really, the ultimate goal is to not have to at all turn to doctors and get healed by a doctor. The permission, the pasuk, is on the doctor. If somebody is sick and doesn't have that level of bitachon, which is all of us, but and they go to the doctor to say, please, doctor, help me. You can't say, well, believe in Hashem, what are you doing? No, you are responsible to heal. The mitzvah is on the doctor, but there's no chiv on the person, apparently, the Ramban says, to go and say, okay, you know, if you... Now, we don't rely on miracles, and that's why you have a chiv to heal the person. And I would say, even somebody asked in the previous in the class, hishtalus versus... We're talking about Hashem. That's an age-old question, which, of course, is a question that definitely applies here as well, as far as the balance of how much you have to try on your own, how much should I go looking for a job, how much should I go make money, how much is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, help me find a pot of gold in my backyard. You know, how much is that balance? And that balance, a lot has been spoken about that, as far as, you know, what the practical way to approach things should be. But for our purposes, just to hear the fact that the Ramban does give this as like, you know, what is really the ultimate purpose of, the ultimate goal, what the level should be like is be talking about Hashem, and that could heal all ailments, which means just starting and ending with tefillah. That's number one. It's a bichirish, and you'll say, it's not just the Ramban. Because if you look on the bottom of page 2, Parshat Chukas, famous story, Bnei Israel in the 40th year, they're traveling to Eretz Canaan, right? Final leg of the journey, and they start complaining about there's no water, and the Lechem HaKlokel is not, and Hashem sends Nechashim and Seraphim to go bite them. Poisonous snakes come to bite them, and many people start dying, And what is Hashem Tamosh going to do? Right? It's the universal symbol of medicine, right? The pole with the snake around it, right? Everybody has it. It's all over the place. The countries that are totally like, I don't know, China had that also? I don't know. You know, total atheistic countries, do they, the communist Russia have that? I don't know. But this is from based on the Torah. The pole, what was the point? They would look at the snake, at this copper snake, and all of a sudden they get healed. The Pasuk says, what was that all about? EGBG magic, some kind of like special magical incantation. So Rashi on the Chumash, and based upon the Gemara Shoshana, says, can the copper serpent cause, on top now page 3, which you don't have, so sorry about that. But Rashi says that it's not the snake that heals or does not heal. A person looks up to Shemayim and says, oh, I see Kadosh Baruch Hu, I see it's all based upon a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That is what brought the person refuah. I once said a pshat, why have to have a snake? Just have a sign saying, you know, believe in Hashem, bitachon, thank you Hashem. Why have to have a copper snake? What was the purpose of the snake being fake? And I thought that's exactly the point. That drives home the lesson that a poisonous snake is just fake. It's just, you know, the fangs are not real. There's no poison in a fake snake. And just as the snake you're looking at is fake, the snake that bit you also really, in essence, is a fake snake. It's only Kadosh Baruch Hu that either will punish or heal based on a person's level of tzikus and what he deserves. And other cheshbonos, of course, are involved in the calculation. But looking at the snake, realizing it, that all snakes, all poison, all sickness is just fake, it's powerless. It's what's behind the snake. Looking to Shemayim, to Kadosh Baruch Hu, that is what's going to save me. That is what brings the healing. So again, it's the Ramban again, in the Chumash being brought down of, there was no doctor, but what? It was realizing, Mishabdim et libam laviyem, to subjecting their hearts to the Father in heaven, that is what brought refuah. Again, on a practical level, nobody should not go to doctors, we're not at that level, to just rely solely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but to forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Cheshbon at all, also not a very good idea. And Hashem being the prime part of any sort of healing process, you see from the Ramban, you see from Rashi, from the Gemara, absolutely, the very first thing is bitachon b'Hashem as part of the healing process. Moving along to the other side, you know, again, that page got cut out, but you see from the outline, using magic to heal. Like the other extreme. Now is the oh Hashem, what about like Hashem out of it totally by going to some kind of witch doctor? Right? It's actually brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan writes down in Hilchos Simin Kuf Ayin Tes, whole Easter of going and doing magic. Now, magic itself is a topic into itself. Is magic real? Black magic that is real, not real. Ooh, anybody believe in Harry Potter still? You know? But the very idea of black magic is a discussion. Big Machlokes Rishonim.
Sorry, Rabbi.
Sure, take a thing.
Oh, thank you,
Shlomo. No problem. A topic into itself, Machlokes Rambam and the Gura. Being machlokes, but assuming that it has some sort of power, that it does work, whatever it does, absolutely forbidden to do. However, the Shach writes that for chole, to go to a witch doctor, or some kind of, using some potion that supposedly is going to heal, that is permissible. Because other shitos, some say only if b'kuach nefesh, not some for a headache. Other Zohar, he quotes, says that it should not go. Discussion does involve the whole question of black magic, assuming that it's real. Where do you draw the line between black magic and idol worship? Because there is definitely a connection there as far as relying on intermediaries, and the whole way black magic works, according to what they say it works, is relying on some sort of powers above, some extra malach, angelic powers, both good, both bad, both, you know, in terms of how that would even operate. But nevertheless, for a chole, the Shach says it is permissible. Halacha l'maaseh, this happened. I spoke to Rabbi Mordechai Tendler, Rabbi Arbeim, and he was a grandson of Moshe. He says back in the late 70s, early 80s, there was a woman in Rabbi Moshe David Tendler's in Muncie's community who had the cancers, who had heart problems, or and if they were recommended to go to some kind of doctor in the Philippines and Manila, so that in Philippine Manila thing was, and there was tanning was all the news about some kind of witch doctor that was able to do some surgery without any knives. He would put his hand on the chest and like. Do some kind of, even Indiana Jones had this kind of thing happen, and it was all based upon that, right, in the second movie. The same, similar thing where you do some kind of healing through, and it was touted as real, and people were healed by it, and the Shiloh was, to Moshe Feinstein, that's all, am I allowed to do that? Is that okay? And he passed him based upon the Shach? Yes. Ilmaisa, she went. I think she died anyhow a few months later. It didn't really help. And then it was discovered later on that it was all fake, that it was all just sleight of hand, all just, you know, just not at all. But nevertheless, the fact that that psak did exist and that it was allowed, from the other extreme, you see that it is okay. Moving to the next topic, medical remedies found in the Gemara. If you go through the Gemara has it all. And one of the things that it has in Brachos and in Gittin and a couple of places in Shas, there are a lot of remedies that Gemara says for this, you do that, take this herb, that herb, do that, and the whole process that exists in the Gemara. This whole question, again, a topic into itself, what is that based on? And some say it's a medical science for the time and can't be trusted, some say it's. So these Makoros over here do tie that into a book known as the Sefer Refuos, the Book of Remedies. So if you look at, I don't have it, I'm sorry again. The Gemara in Brachos has six things that Chizkiyo HaMelech, this is now circa 140 years before the Churban HaBayis, the great King Chizkiyo did six things, Chazal, the Gemara says. Three of them, they said, thumbs up, great job. And three, they said, Chizkiyo, that was very poor judgment, that was horrible. What are the two of the three things that he did that Chazal gave him a thumbs up? One of them was, the second one in the list is, actually the first in the list, he gonaz sefer refuos. He hid this book that every possible remedy that you can think of for any sickness, he hid it. He put it away, did not let the public have access to it. The second thing was he actually ground up that snake that Moshe made that did the healing. He ground that up and destroyed it. And Hodelo, they also agreed to that. Rashi explains, why would he go ahead and hide the Sefer Refuos? That's like, could have helped so many people throughout the generation. Why did Chizkiyahu hide it? Rashi says, Kedei sheyivakshu rachamim, in order that people not only rely on it, and that they should just say, you know, who cares about being a good Jew and being a good person and tshuva, you know, I get sick. God wants to punish me. Sorry, God. I could avoid it. I can just open the book of remedy, open it up, and that's it. And that was the attitude that apparently was happening during his day. People weren't diving at all. Weren't turning to a Kodesh Baruch. They were saying, okay, I got sick. Okay, you know, do a search on, no internet, but, you know, search on the favorite force. You know, give me a copy of that book. Look it up. Boom, they're healed. Therefore, Chizkiyo was Nignazit. Comes the couple of sources. In the Sashbats quoted and the Rashba says that anytime you see a refua in the Gemara, it's from that book. And the Rashba explains that the whole point, Chizkiyahu didn't like destroy it, he just hid it because it was being used improperly. To use it without any bitachon, that was dangerous and wrong, and that's why he hid it. But he still taught, and people, the Gedolim of the era, the Rabbanim still knew of them and passed them down to the Talmidim, and Ravi and Ravashi included them in the Gemara. Wherever you see that kind of a refu in the Gemara, he said, dates back to that famous Sefer Refuos. Now, where does Sefer Refuos come from? So, two opinions on that. Some say it came from Noach and the Teva. Noach and Nineveh living in close proximity with all these animals, you know, germ, who knows what's festering over there in the Teva for the whole year. So, says the Malach must be Rafal, came and taught him this book. They wrote it down, and that was passed on to Noach and to his children. The Rashba says it came from Shlomo HaMelech, who knew it all. So, either way, using it nowadays, however, so there again, a whole other discussion about that, pros and cons of So really, the consensus is not to try them at home because, most important, they may not work. And because it may not work, you're going to say, ah, Chazal don't know what they're talking about. And because, now why won't they work? Because you're not doing it correctly. Like, we don't know exactly what they mean. They deserve that, or what does that deserve even mean? So because there are too many questions that will arise as far as utilizing these refuahs properly, we're not really supposed to use them. There's one refuah that the Rav Kivega says in the Shulchan Aruch that actually is good and works, and it actually is, and that if a person has some kind of bone stuck in his throat, I guess he's not choking to die, but somehow it's like just stuck there, and he can still breathe. So there's a refuah to put the same bone on his forehead and say some kind of incantation. He says that works. You can look it up if you want, but it is brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. Kiv brings it down as one of the remaining remedies from the Sefer Refuos that one actually can try and allow to try. And he says, but the Benusa, it works. He's checked out and it works every single time to try that remedy. That is as far as one last point on that. Rav Moshe writes that there's a whole machlokes in the Gemara in Rishonim whether or not davening is a Torah mitzvah or a Rabbanan mitzvah. So, but even the Ramban who says that, the Rabbanan, the Eis Tzar, at a time where a person is sick, a person is in trouble, there's actually an obligation to then daven. So Rav Moshe proves from the story of Chizkiyahu that it must be from that Gemara because this is pre-Rabbanan, Chizkiyahu's time. So why was he allowed to be gones and hide this book of remedies? So you should daven? Well, who says davening is even a mitzvah? Why should I daven? Oh, it's a proof that davening is a chiv. If davening won't be a mitzvah, a chiv to daven when a person is in a time of need, a time of trouble, in a dire circumstance, then how would he even write? It's only because there's a mitzvah and people weren't doing that chiv, the raisa of davening. That's why Chizkiyahu hid the book, and that's why Chazal gave him a thumbs up on hiding that Sefer Refuos. The next section, that's as far as medical remedies, but last thing to try to see, what are, you know, if we're beginning and ending with davening, with turning to Hashem, the Ramban, the Nachat Nechoshes, magic being something which, okay, but really not your first try. Medical remedies, the Gemara, not really being that helpful to us. Tefillah. So a couple of makoros just on how to harness our davening and make it more effective. Couple of things. Top of page 4 now, back on the Amakomos, if you're following at home. And that is, number 6 on top of page 4, the story of the birth of Yitzchak, right? Now Yishmael and Yitzchak are living together, and Yishmael is not being a very good influence on Yitzchak, and Sarah tells Avram, get rid of this Ben HaShivcha, get rid of the Shivcha, and he sends them away, and they're out in the desert, and Yishmael gets very sick, and Hagar is crying, and Hagar is davening, and the pasuk says on top of page 4, "Vayishma Elokim es kol ha-na'ar." Hashem heard the sound of the na'ar. The malach comes to Hagar, tells her, "Don't worry, don't be afraid." All right, Hashem listened to the voice of the na'ar. Again, the voice of the na'ar. And Rashi says, "Why kol ha-na'ar? Why the emphasis? Mikan sheyofet tfilas chola mitfilas acherim alav." That it is better that the davening, the tefillah of the chole himself is more effective than anybody else davening for him. And therefore it says, Yishma al kol hanar to Yishmael. A lot of times we others, a person sick, you know, he daven, but the person himself, you know, never, let's not forget, the bracha refa'enu, and the own name, and again, we shouldn't be in that matzah, in that situation. But nevertheless, davening for himself, for his own health, definitely something that Vayishma is called anar.
Can that also be like a proof for why kids davening is better than like men's?
That's all the chus of the child himself. We'll get to that. Well, davening for oneself over somebody else, that's the next topic. Or davening for somebody else, we'll see how that also is a major factor in terms of the effectiveness of davening. But we say with bracha refa'enu sometimes, you know, we mumble it, you know, but like we're saying davening refa'enu Hashem refa'enu, not just the Klal Yisrael, but also ourselves. You know, we're davening for our own, to keep our own healing. Now we're healthy, Baruch Hashem. But now, you know, who knows? The Rav used to say, one moment, it could just flip around in a second. Life is so hanging in a balance in so many ways. Rafein Hashem and Rafei, anytime we have a chance to daven for ourselves, have in mind yourself. That being said, number seven, also a story in Vayera, before Yitzhak is born, right? Sarah is taken by Avimelech, and Hashem comes and gives Mal comes and plagues the whole household of Avimelech, and nobody can now, any woman who was in the middle of giving birth, all of a sudden her womb stopped up. They couldn't go to the bathroom. All their orifices, all their openings, or their body was just all closed. Vayitpal Avram Elokim, Hashem davens for them, and Hashem healed them. And right after that, the pasuk says, the next paragraph, Hashem pakad at Sarah, Hashem remembered Sarah, like he said, and he gave Sarah a child. Comes Rashi, based upon the Gemara and Baba Kama, and says, what's the connection? If you ask for mercy on somebody else, and you need that same thing, you're answered first. Shenemar v'ispalel v'gomer. And then after that, right after Avram Davins, right there, Hashem pokad at Sarah, that once Sarah was remembered after Avimelech was healed, or she was healed already when she had a child, he remembered her even before he healed Avimelech. You're answered first. Now, you'll say, well, that's fine for Avimelech and Avram, because he did it on his own accord. You know, he did it because he just was voluntarily doing it. He cared about them. Which, by the way, the Chassam Sofer writes, like, how does this even work? How does this work? So this may get into the child Shalom's idea. Because, and you find also, I heard from Rabbi Tamar as well, Ramosha, when a person came for a bracha to Ramosha, a bracha of a tzaddik, bracha of a Rebbe, or something, like, what is that all about? So it's like, well, he has the power to give a bracha to heal a person, to make a miracle. It's not really that. The point is, he's davening for that person. And the way it works, he said, when Moshe used to hear a story, he would cry. He would, like, mamish, you know, feel for that person. When a person is affected, lo'alein, with a sickness, so some chesed min shemayim, he deserves that. Okay, he has to get that. But to somebody else to feel that pain, that wasn't necessarily part of the calculation. So if somebody else finds out about it, and is hurt, is feels for it, and says, that's horrible, and he davens because he doesn't want to feel the pain for himself, to know about that, then in shemayim, they can do a recalculation. And that's why the tefillah of somebody else would work. And because you're going ahead and giving to that person, then if that person needs that same refuah, he gets it as well. And you'll ask, is that good to do l'chatchil? Is that good to do from the outset? Fine, okay, no, a person is sick, so he'll find somebody else who has the same ailment. So is there a Yaakov quote that yes, he was asked this question, he says, absolutely is permissible to do. And he quotes a proof from none other than Rabbi Akiva Eger. In a tshuva that Rabbi Akiva Eger wrote to somebody, at the end of the tshuva, he says, I underlined it, and number eight, I'll give you a little aid. I see that you are suffering from the same ailment that I'm also suffering from. And if there's not too much bother, I'll tell you the following, with your tefillah, your pure tefillah, this is Rabbi Akiva Eger talking to someone, who knows what, we don't know who this is, even he's talking to, that your pure tefillah, you have the same ailment as I do. I'm also suffering for whatever ailment that was. You daven for me, and we have the rule that Hamas Palel Achaveri daven for somebody else, you're answered first. So if you want to get healed from your that I know that you have, I have the same thing. Daven for me, and I guess I'll daven for you. That he didn't say, but I imagine it's part of the cheshbon. And we both will get healed from each other's tefillah. And that was showing that even on the chatchila level, to find somebody else who has the same ailment is, and daven for them, it actually is effective for yourself, even on a l'chatchila level. And I saw number nine, just that he led me to, because he quotes Magen Avraham over here, in the Shulchan Aruch, you know, back in the day, bloodletting was like a big deal, right? The barbershops have on it the blue, white, and red. That red stands for blood, because barbers used to, besides cutting your hair, they also would, like, take out your blood. And that was known as a remedy to, even nowadays, I think, like, giving blood is actually a positive, healthy type of a thing to do, they say. I don't know. But, right? Any doctors here can confirm that. That is something which is... So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch writes, when a person does bloodletting, he should say, and this is, really goes for any type of Remember when Rabbi, right, the Abitan doctors, right, the brothers were all doctors, the father, when he passed away, so the brothers put out a card for that had this Yiratzon in it. Whenever a person takes medication, he should say these words, this is the Lach L'maisa, Yiratzon V'necha Hashem L'kai, She Eses Zil Refua, Ki Rofei Chinam Ata. That again, you're tying, you're taking treatment, you're being a regular person, you're not a, we don't have that level, but we're taking medication, but you should still say this Yiratzon as you take this medication. And so too he says, Hakaz Dam, but then he says, Magen Avraham writes, that this is every refuah, and he goes, one who sneezes, what do you say when a person sneezes? Say what? Bless you, Gesundheit. Those days said Asuta, Aramaic for have a refuah. Says that's actually Mekayim, that this idea of davening to somebody else. It's actually a halacha. You should say Gesundheit, say Libriyut, say whatever you say, right? And that you're just davening for that person. And that and therefore you should say to the person back, Baruch Tia, oh thank you. You just davened for me, you know. And that helps you as well. By davening somebody else, anytime I was to my daughter about that, and she said, well, say mazel to somebody. Anytime you give somebody a positive thing, it actually bounces back to you. And therefore, one should not be shy in saying, Libriyut, Gesundheit, Asuta, whatever is your response to a sneeze, is something that also fits into this calculation of davening to somebody else. You are nenet chilim. Again, to make it more effective, it involves trying to really feel the person's pain, to feel the person's trouble that he is in this kind of situation. And then when you're in the same situation, lo aleinu, we shouldn't be in it, but if we are, so that perhaps that could enhance your feeling the empathy for that person. Whereas if you're well and this guy is sick, I'll say, you know, whatever, you don't. But if you can share in it, because you're sharing that same element, maybe that's also why it's more effective when you daven for somebody else and you have the same thing, why you get healed first. Say, show him a child that also is much more like innocent when it comes to, much less, say, sarcastic when it comes to davening. And a child has that to say, you know, I daven to Hashem, there's a little innocence there that perhaps you try to capture. Perhaps the feel of a child also. You can have more bitachon than sometimes an adult sees life and sees times where it doesn't work tefillah, you know, and they get very jaded about davening b'chlal. But a child should not have lived through much, have much life experiences to hopefully to be jaded in that way, and perhaps they could, their tefillah for somebody else can have more of an effect in terms of feeling for the person and in terms of really believing that it's all dependent upon the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The last section, just to end off, a couple of other things that brought down of metaphysical protection or healing or metamedical protection. Something brought down in the Gan Misharim by Rav Yoel Weiss and Pashas Eike, according from Kadmonim, this idea of intrusion from a Talmud Trusha Deshen was told by Trusha Deshen that when he was sick, to move his bed to a different place. Move your bed. He says, he discusses later on if it's move a dollar almost away or a different room or a different house. But this is something he brings down is what works. He says it was tested and it's something very, very important to do. He quotes, Weiss quotes from the Gemara, maybe connecting it to a Gemara in Brachos also, where Rava was told in a dream to not sleep in the same bed he was sleeping the next day. And the next day he sees that bed was all full of sores and people try to kill him on that bed. Again, this is, again, definitely in the realm of beyond our understanding how that would work, but it does will involve another major topic that we can spend hours on, and that is mazikin. Things, extra non-physical objects, living creatures that attack. Now, Ron Soloveitchik thought that refers to coronaviruses and the bacteria and germs that are non-physical, you can't see them, and yet they're very dangerous, they do a lot of harm. He thought whenever the Gemara says mazikin or shadim refers to those creatures that are not really visible to the naked eye, and yet can do a lot of damage and kill a person. Now, that's one approach. Others perhaps take a little different approach and say more of a more non-scientific, and maybe science will discover more types of things that the Gemara kind of knew about but didn't know how to scientifically define them. but not taking Rav Aaron's approach, but if a mazik has a person's, like, the charge and I'd say the mission to harm somebody, it may also include his address. And if he changes his position where he sleeps, so there's, that's where it's brought down, perhaps they will lose their power to find him, so to speak. And I guess they're not so bright, the mazikin. I don't want to offend them, but, you know, who knows? Maybe that's part of this cheshbon over here, as far as how moving the bed works. Other thing which brought down by the Zer Yaakov, this book on is mentioning past miracles. If you mention somebody else who was in the same mouth that Hashem did save, right, that is a tremendous school, he writes, to get saved as well. That perhaps is why we mention Az Yosher every single day. We're mentioning Zechirah every day. We mention Hashem. You can do miracles. So what about me? You know, what have you done lately to the Klal Yisrael? I know you can do it. And mentioning that Hashem could do it then puts in our minds the belief that He could and will do it because He's done it before. And therefore, it's also a major segula to do this. He quotes also the minhag to give tzedakah to Rameir Bal Hanes. Right? It's a minhag brought down. Person's ill, wants a Yeshua. To give tzedakah, Rameir the Tana. Is there Rameir the Tana buried in Tveria? He was called Rameir Bal Hanes for an incredible story. It goes on in the Gemara. But it's, the person says, okay, the mayor, Aneni, answer me. And it's Rameir in the Gemara always is cautious, always in concern for the minority opinion, the small possibility of something happening. Rameir also always cared about, there's a slight chance it may happen. So he develops the halacha based on that. And so to a person, maybe in a situation where most people don't get out of it, but you go ahead and say, okay, the mayor, Aneni, Rameir, he was the one who believed in me. So just like the small chance of me getting saved, but hey, you know, I'm mentioning a miracle of Rameir the Tana, Rameir Bahanes, therefore it can also help as well. And last two items, which I think incredibly important, these are all practical things. And that is the bracha of Asher Yatzar. In general, I think I spoke to the shir a while back about brachas in general. The Gemara in Brachos writes that a person who does not make a bracha, this is not food we're talking about, the Gemara says he's stealing from Hashem and from Knesset Yisrael. Rashi comes along and says, all right, from Hashem we understand, you know, you got to first acknowledge where the food came from, but then how is it stealing from Klal Yisrael? And Rashi says, Kishechotu haperos lokin, when a person does not say a bracha, the produce actually is diminished. So you're stealing from the food from other people because it's getting less of the produce. And I think pshat is that when you make a bracha and you say, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam, you're bringing God into the world. You're connecting God to nature. And when one does that, nature is enhanced. Nature is just, you know, it's just rejuvenated with the hashgacha of Hashem. When a person sins chalila, it distances it. Perhaps all the, I don't know, I'm not getting into politics nowadays, but like, you know, you throw Hashem out of the world, so the world goes crazy. You bring Hashem into the world, things run like clockwork. And a bracha does that. And therefore, so many gedolim talk about Asher Yatzar, a bracha on our health, a bracha on how the body is operating properly. We're eating, it's just getting, taking what we need to live, to excreting all that we don't. It's an incredible miracle that happens to appreciate that every time, say, gedolim, say with kavana, you know, read the words, it's something which you have to enhance myself also to maybe say while we're not walking, while we're not, you know, think a little bit about Asher Yatzar. It's brought down many, many sources how it is able to keep a person healthy. Yes, Sean.
So, is there a question you could say, like, so if a person's sick, would they say Asher Yatzar if they're going to the bathroom? Because you're
yes, I don't know. Halacha l'maaseh, you got to check out. You know, there's the young man, there's a whole program now. I think I showed you Asher to the Yatzar.
Yeah, we saw.
Right, that a friend of my daughter's, and it's a definitely Shiloh person. Chalila is on the catheter, who knows? But there's definitely to understand. You don't want to get to that point and appreciate and bringing Hashem into the world, connecting Hashem to our own bodies on the operation of our bodies. And trying to enhance that, it definitely, definitely will go a long way to keep ourselves healthy. And the last thing is the whole idea of ayin hara. again, a topic unto itself, how to understand the idea of Ayin Hara, but the Gemara, Mamatziah, is very clear that a bracha, the bracha is not mitzuya. Bracha includes everything. Health, wealth, happiness, any bracha is not found unless it is samoy min ha'ayin, hidden from the eye, and once it opens up to the public, to people that perhaps become jealous and, you know, on the one hand, obviously, you see brachas, you see people have good things, Baruch Hashem, you know, but to feel jealousy of somebody else, for sure, one has to try his best, never, never to give in Ayin Hara, and that is to feel jealous of somebody else. But to try to, to whatever extent, obviously, you know, we live and things, we just live regularly, and that and there are things that in the Ayin Hara topic itself, which perhaps can protect one from Ayin Hara. But let's take the extreme example: a person who, in the face, you know, just makes fun of others for how little they have, how much he has, and he put constantly reminding somebody else of the fact of that he has nothing and I have a lot. You know, that kind of attitude on an extreme level. It's very, very dangerous. The more we try to hide our brachos, the more that we can, Baruch Hashem, keep the brachos and use them, use the brachos in the right way, use our health for positive purposes to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One way to be protected from Ayin Hara is when you use the brachos that we are given for positive things. That also is definitely one of the idea of metaphysical protection and keeping ourselves healthy and happy. Thank you for coming. Have a great rest of the day. Make it Wednesday because.
Thank you,
Abby. Okay, great day.